Welcome to the Christian Gospel Center. We believe you are about to be impacted by this message of faith and hope. If there is anything that we can do to help you get connected into the church, or if you'd like more information about who we are, please head to thegospelcenter.com.
Well, we're going to continue the message that I started last week about walking onto your destiny. You know, last week we looked at quite a few passages in Scripture about what God's got planned for us. I mean, we all know Jeremiah 29:11. We know various scriptures about, I know the plans for you, says the Lord, and all those sort of things. We know that Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father except through me. One of the key scriptures I read out last week was out of the book of Jeremiah, chapter 6 and verse 16. It says this, thus says the Lord, stand in the ways and see, and ask for the old paths where the good path is, and walk in it, then you will find rest for your souls. It's a powerful, powerful scripture when you stop and think about it. Stand in the ways and see, and ask for the old paths where the good way is, and walk in it. I think too often as Christians, we're standing in this place and we're looking for God to deliver everything He's promised without us walking into the promise that He has. The Amplified says the same passage this way, thus says the Lord, stand by the roads and look and ask for the eternal paths where the good old way is. Then walk in it and you will find rest for your souls. The Hebrew word here for ways is the word halak, which is the way or the walk, is an action word in that. And when a child of God, when a Jew would hear that, they would say halak is the life that you walk out. They understand, not as we understand English, but in their language it actually describes far more than what we understand. It's the choice to step into and to stay on the preordained path. Now, you and I know how hard it is sometimes to stay on track, as we say in our language, to stay on the path that God's called us. We have so many distractions. And, you know, new doctrine comes in and new songs come in and new preachers come in. And sometimes it causes you to think, am I on the right path or am I not? You know, the answer is, again and again, to go back to see what the Word of God says itself. You know, I was talking to someone the other day and I was talking about a new version of the Bible that had come out, and they said, oh, not another one. Why can't you just stick to one version of the Bible? I said, because I don't read Hebrew and Greek. Bill might, but I don't. And I certainly don't speak King James English every time I speak. But when I go to the Word of God, I want to make sure that word that I'm reading is an exact translation or the best translation into English that can be. So tonight I want to look a little bit at the life of Abraham. I want you to open your Bibles, if you would, with me to the book of Genesis. Genesis chapter 18. I just want to encourage you all that God does have a plan for your life. He has a destiny. As the Amplified says for Jeremiah chapter 29:11, He gives you hope in your final outcome. All everyone knows we've got a final outcome. Yeah. Sometimes things look like it's all going to fall over yesterday and it's all going to fall over in an instant. But God has got a plan. It's so defined and so well laid out that we need to know what's going on. But here in this passage in Genesis chapter 18, I just want to tease out some thoughts about walking into your destiny, or walking onto your destiny, I should say. And I think Abraham is a great example of a man who journeyed, knowing that he had a destiny in the Lord, knowing that God had plans for him, and God's plan was to fulfill those plans. Amen? It says from verse 1, now the Lord appeared to Abraham by the oaks or the terebinths of Mamre, as he stood at the door of his tent in the heat of the day. He lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, three men stood at a little distance from him. he ran from the tent door to meet them and bowed himself to the ground. A little bit like Martha this morning. We were talking about Martha. She ran out to meet Jesus when her brother Lazarus had died. And said, "My Lord, if now I have found favor in your sight, do not pass by your servant, I beg of you. Let a little water be brought, and you may wash your feet and recline and rest yourselves under the tree. And I will bring a morsel of bread to refresh and sustain your hearts before you go any further. For that is why you have come to your servant." And they replied, "Do as you have said." I like this part because he's just promised food, "I will bring." And he runs back to the tent in verse 6. Abraham hastened into the tent to Sarah and said, "Quickly, get ready 3 measures of fine meal, knead it, and bake cakes." And Abraham ran to the herd and bought a calf tender and good and gave it to the young man to butcher. And then he, Abraham, hastened to prepare it. So he did get involved. He cooked the barbie. Sarah provided the bread. And he took curds and milk and the calf which he had made nearby and set it before the men, and he stood by them under the tree while they ate. And they said to him, "Where is Sarah your wife?" And he said, I want you to pick this up tonight, "She is here in the tent." The Lord said, "Surely I will return to you when the season comes round, and behold, Sarah your wife will have a son." And Sarah was listening and heard it at the tent door, which was behind him. Verse 11, now Abraham and Sarah were old, well advanced in years. It had ceased to be with Sarah as with young women. She was past the age of childbearing, the Amplified says. Therefore Sarah laughed to herself, saying, "After I have become aged, shall I have the pleasure and delight, my Lord, being also aged or old?" And the Lord asked Abraham, "Why did Sarah laugh, saying, 'Shall I really bear a child when I am so old?'" Verse 14, "Is anything too hard or too wonderful for the Lord? At the appointed time, when the season for her delivery comes around, I will return to you, and Sarah shall have borne a son." And Sarah denied it, saying, "I did not laugh," for she was afraid. And he said, "No, but you did laugh." As I said this morning in my intro to tonight's message, Sarah's journey has never been an easy journey. The Bible records at an early age she packed everything up and went with her father to a place where her father became old and he passed away. She marries this man, Abram. She's Sarai, he's Abram, you know the story. And she settles down with Abram, a very successful man. He's got wealth, he's got servants, he's got land. And God speaks to him one day, 25 years earlier than this, and says, "Abram, I want you to pack up everything you got. I want you to go to a place that I will show you." I looked in between the lines, as I always do when I read the Bible, and I could just picture Abraham running back to Sarah and say, "Sarah, Sarah, the Lord's just come to me in a dream. We're going to pack everything up and we're going to go to the place the Lord's going to show us. And everything we see is going to be ours." Sarah goes, "That's great. Where are we going?" He says, "I don't know. We're just going to go where the Lord tells us to go." Now, the women of the night will appreciate what I'm saying, because when men get excited about something, some women will say, "Really? Is that what we're meant to do, or is that what you're meant to do?" But see, life and culture is different here, and where the husband goes, the wife goes also. So Sarah packs everything up and travels with Abraham to the land of promise. And they move, and they move, and they move, and they move. And they eventually come to the land, and Abraham says, "This is it. This is where we're meant to be. Everything you can see will be ours." Girls, can you picture it? Yeah, right. You've been telling me that for the last 25 years. You told me God was going to give us a son. I want you to see tonight that sometimes we can be like Abraham, who rushes out, who goes out of his way to see what the men want, and Sarah stays in the tent. Sometimes we live in a culture where we become the Sarah tent people. We get comfortable. We get frustrated because the plans of God hasn't come to pass. We get annoyed because the promise that's maybe taken weeks, or months, or years hasn't come to pass. And I see in this passage tonight that sometimes we can be like Sarah too. God's given you a promise and you laugh. Ha! Really, God? I'm on Abraham's side. I know it'll come to pass, but you know what? Sometimes when you get sick, you become a Sarah. When there's lack of finance, you become a Sarah. When things don't come to pass as quick as you prayed for, you become a Sarah. And I love the way that the Bible is so honest here, that they explain that Sarah is just past the age of childbearing. I love the way the Bible describes it. And it says in here in verse 12, let me just read it to you. Then Sarah laughed to herself, saying, after I have become aged, shall I have pleasure and delight? And for the married people here tonight, we're not going to go any further. My Lord, being so old also? What would it be like in their 90s? How would you feel if the Lord said to you 25 years earlier, it's all taken care of, you're going to have a child, Abraham, your husband, is going to be father of many nations, follow me, do what I tell you to do, and it'll all come to pass. And the years roll by, and the years roll by, and the years roll by, and Sarah, by this stage, she's happy in tent land. She's got a big screen TV, she's got her internet access, she's got all her friends on Facebook, they're standing on her side. And Abraham gets the news, the updated news, that within a season, within 12 months, he's going to have a baby. How old? 90 years age. We laugh. If God said to you, in 12 months, you're going to be out of debt. If God said to you, in 12 months, you're going to be the fittest person you've ever been. If God said to you, in 12 months, I'm going to give you your job that you've been working and studying and believing for. If God said to you, in 12 months, I'm going to supply the means to get the house to live in that you need. If God said to you, in 12 months, I'm going to provide the woman I promised you or the man I promised you to marry. And 25 years later, after you've heard these promises, this word comes in within a season, you will have. I'm sure that most of you are laughing, really? But I love the words of the Lord here, because it says, right here in the passage, is anything too hard for the Lord to do? Is anything too hard for the Lord to do? The Amplified says, too hard or too wonderful for the Lord? I want to challenge us all tonight that the promises of God are yes and amen. Yes, and so be it. Who are we to say, Lord, you can't do that? Lord, that seems impossible. Lord, that's not meant for me. Lord, I'm too old. Lord, my health is failing. Lord, I haven't got the finances. Lord, I haven't got the vehicle. Lord, I haven't got this. Lord, I haven't got the support. Who are we, like Sarah, sitting in a tent to say, Lord, I'm too old, or whatever it might be. But I love that faith statement. Is anything too hard, too difficult for the Lord to do? I love the way that as time moves on, God answers his prayer. His word. He comes through and he delivers. And as we know that Sarah delivers the baby. I like as the passage continues on here in verse 16, the men rose up from there and faced towards Sodom, and Abraham went with them to bring them on their way. And the Lord said, verse 17, shall I hide from Abraham what I'm going to do? Since Abraham shall surely become a great and mighty nation, and all the nations of the earth shall be blessed through him and shall bless themselves by him. Is there anything too hard? Is there anything too wonderful for the Lord? Each of you tonight here have a destiny. Each of you have a calling in God. Each of you have a future in Christ. Each of you have a destiny according to God's word. Is anything too hard for the Lord? If he says he'll do it, don't you think he'll be able to do it? If he says to you tonight, it'll come, but he doesn't put a timeline on it, are you prepared to wait? Are you prepared to sit in a tent like Sarah? Or are you prepared to run out into your destiny like Abraham did? In Matthew chapter 11, verses 28 to 30, Jesus says, come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. As I compare these two passages about Abraham and Sarah in their senior years, hanging on to the promise of God, moving about, going where God calls them to go, building up this empire that God's provided for them, yet the one thing that's the breakthrough for Abraham and for Sarah is that child that God promised, and they're waiting. Surely, with all their labor, with all their patience, with all their waiting, they would be heavy laden and needing rest. Verse 29 of Matthew 11 says, take my yoke upon you and learn from me. For I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Sometimes it's easy to take Sarah's side. To just say, oh well, if God's going to do it, he'll do it. As I'm reading this passage through, the Lord just made me chuckle. I must admit, he makes me laugh some days. With all the promises that God's given to Abram, changes his name to Abraham, develops his real estate portfolio, his livestock portfolio, his bank account, his range of servants. He does all this. But the one thing is still outstanding. The son. The heir to the fortune. The heir to the lineage that's going to be the father of many nations. And I can just picture as these three men come to Abraham and they tell him what's going to happen, and he excitedly goes into Sarah and she says something like, oh, Abraham's found another wacky friend. They're all hearing from God now. And the Bible actually says that she laughs. I could just picture my grandmother, and she wasn't quite 90 when she passed away. I could just see her face. If somebody had said to her, the Lord said, you're going to have a child. I could just see my grandmother just laughing and saying, here we go again. Abraham and his wild dreams. We're probably going to pack up the house. We're probably going to pack up the furniture, get all the livestock together. We're just going to move to another place, and the promise should be there waiting for us. Can you see that in God? That sometimes we take that Sarah attitude where we go, really? Can you see that happening? But I want you to see it rather than from Sarah's eyes tonight. I want you to see it through the eyes of Abraham, the man of promise. The man who was spoken over before he really discovered God. The man who was met as Abram. The promise of God that he would become the father of many nations. He would be a blessing, and those that blessed him God would bless. And those who cursed him, God would curse. And here he starts out on this journey of faith, and he sees his destiny ahead of him. He sees the future beginning to unfold. He sees the wealth and the wherewithal to carry the generations through, to make that fatherhood a fatherhood of promise, a fatherhood of God promised and now he's come through. We find Sarah in the tent, the worker, the supporter of the faith ministry, the one that says, yes, Abraham, I know what God said, and I'm with you all the way. And if we've got to move again, then we'll move again. But when are we going to see the finality of his promise? The day it comes through. The day the promise comes through. Within a season. Friends, I really believe that there's going to be a season of God's promises coming into your lives, into my life, into the life of this church. I really believe that if we stand on God's promises, as we rest in Christ, as he invited us to do in Matthew 11 there, that as we put our burdens upon him, as we take his yoke upon us rather than our own, I really believe that as we walk on to our destiny, things will begin to unfold. You know, the Bible says in Matthew 22, verse 14, for many are called, but few are chosen. Can you try and work that out? Every person has been called. Every person has a divine destiny planned and a divine destiny written. And every person has a choice to walk on that path. Every person. Not every person chooses to do what God's called them to do. How many were called? The Bible says many. Many are called. Few are chosen. If you want to come with me to Ephesians tonight, chapter 2 and verse 10. Book of Ephesians. I want you to be encouraged tonight that God does have a plan. He's got a destiny. He's got a future for you. And it will unfold as you stick to the path he's called you on. It says here in Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 10, for we are God's own handiwork, his workmanship, recreated in Christ Jesus, that is born anew, the Amplified says, that we may do those good works which God predestined, that is planned beforehand, for us. The Amplified says, taking paths which he prepared ahead of time, that we should walk in them, living the good life which he prearranged and made ready for us to live. You and I are God's own handiwork. Recreated, let's get this right, recreated in Christ Jesus, just for a good time. Just to sit around and wait for Jesus to come back for us? Just to live and die and then go to heaven to be with Jesus forever? No, the Bible's very clear here. And who better to write it than the Apostle Paul himself? That we may do those good works which God predestined for us. He wants us to do what? Four-letter word. Work. Amen. What sort of works are they? Dirty jobs? Jobs nobody else wants? Sometimes they may be. The word here describes it that we may do those good works which God planned beforehand for us. Taking the paths which he prepared ahead of time that we should walk in them. Well, I don't want to. I'm telling you right now, I don't want to. I don't want to lay down my life. I don't want to give up my earthly existence. I don't want to do the things I don't want to do. But God, will you bless me anyway? Hello? It doesn't work, does it? The Bible, according to this passage, that God has set out a path for us to follow, And we can look at the path all day long and say, well, that's a nice path. It's pretty good at the end. Should get there one day. And do nothing about it. A path is designed to be walked on. Amen? You ever build a path? Build a driveway? Laid cement? Put down some gravel? Whatever? You've made a path? And you go, don't anyone walk on it. Too good to walk on. I laid that concrete myself. See my initials in the corner? 1853, I put that down and nobody's walked on it. I'm not that old. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit are committed to perfect that which concerns you. They are committed to make your destiny come to pass. The question is, will you now walk out that path? The challenge to all of us is to consider your way. Consider your life. Consider where you are now compared to where God has called you to. God didn't ask us to just sit around and wait for him to come back. Are you walking in his truth? Or are you walking in a lie? You see, if you're walking in a plan other than his, it's a lie. Because the Bible again and again and again, as we said last week, sets out a path that God, a way that God has put towards us. Can I put it this way? That there is an eternal mission before you. That his provision is on that path. And he's asking us tonight to consider whether we're going to go on that path or not. Are you prepared to consider what God has put before you? Or are you perhaps stuck in another plan? You know, it's a bit like a telephone deal. You sign a contract for 2 years. You want to opt out, it's going to cost you money. The other company says, come to us. We'll make it all right. We'll offer you the best deal on planet Earth. Just forget about them. Just come on over. And you come on over and you find out there's a $560 bill for cancelling the contract. God doesn't work like that. God's got the best plan ever for you, for me, which gives us a destiny that's literally out of this world. Don't waste your time going down another path that's not meant for you. By faith, lay hold of that which God has laid hold of you for. I really believe that with all my heart. I don't want to be a Sarah sitting in a tent waiting for the things to go. I want to be an Abraham that rushes out to the things of God. You know, when you look at Abraham, he was quite a compulsive man. When God spoke to him, he said, pack everything up and go to a land which I'm going to show you. He didn't say, well, can I have some other options? He didn't say, give me a month or so to think about it. The Bible says, immediately, he left everything and took the direction, path, the way that God had given him. You know, he just didn't go into the land and say, here I am, build a mansion, sat back and reap the rewards. The Bible says he actually journeyed. You know, he went through lands, he went through valleys, he went over mountains and he did all these amazing things, which was part of his growth period, getting him ready to be the father of many nations. I wonder how many mountains we've had to climb. I wonder how many valleys we've had to go through to get to where God's going to say to us in the next season, it's yours. Within a year, I promise you. Now, I'm not going to put any time limit on anything that God's promised you. Don't hear that from me tonight. If Sarah had to wait 25 years for the promise to be a given time within a season, you will have this child, then perhaps you're going to have to wait a little bit longer. I really believe that this year, 2017, is going to be an amazing year of outpourings from heaven. But the truth of the matter is, he's only going to pour out on those who are hungry for him. for those who are already walking down that path of what he's called us in to do. I believe that the Lord this year is going to perfect everything that concerns you and your destiny and the plans that you've aligned yourself with his plans with. I believe as we begin to walk out that path by the Spirit of grace, you know, Abraham was moved by grace. He understood what it was for the Lord to speak to him, give him direction, give him future. You know what else? There's no devil out of hell. There's no devil on planet Earth that can cause the Lord's plan to stop. The very blood of Jesus is working for you in order for you to walk your path. I believe this year is going to be grander and greater, and that the outpouring that comes will be like nothing you've ever experienced before. I declare that tonight in Jesus' name. Friends, it's a matter of putting our legs into action. It's about putting our faith into action. It's about fine-tuning what you believe the Lord has said for you to do. I believe Abraham, if you read through the book of Genesis, from when the Lord first spoke to Abram, if you read through his journey, if you specifically do a study out on his life, you'll see the Lord used him and yet challenged him and then re-challenged him and reused him time and time again till he came to the point of destination where he went home to be with the Lord. The day, the Bible says, when Abraham died. Right across planet Earth today, people still talk about Father Abraham. You hear a lot of talk about David. You hear a fair bit of talk about the wisdom of Solomon. You read a lot about the writings of the Apostle Paul, but mainly in Christian circles. But you go anywhere in the Middle East and they'll talk about Father Abraham. I talk about the God of Abraham, Isaac and Jacob. Even the Muslims do that. Abraham, man of faith. Talked about by Paul in Romans. Talked about by Paul in Hebrews. Talked about at length through Genesis. The journey of Abraham. Talked through the generations. You know when Abraham left? You know that Abraham had two sons, and one went this way, and one had the favor of God, and he went this way? And we're in that lineage, friends. We're in that lineage of blessing. That same covenant that God made with Abraham is still relevant to us as born-again believers today. Amen? I just want to close in prayer tonight. I just want to thank God for what he's doing. I want to thank God for the challenge that's on all our lives in this day and age. I want to pray that God speaks to you about your destiny. And if you don't know what your destiny is, you don't even know what the path looks like, that I pray tonight that you would have time to spend time with the Lord and say, Lord, where would you have me walk? What would you have me do, Lord? Because I don't want to be like Sarah, sitting in a lounge chair with my iPad on my lap, my TV screen in front of me all day long, and then you return. Instead of saying, well done, good and faithful servant, enter into your rest. The Lord says, depart from me, I never knew you. Big challenge. It's a biblical truth. Well done, good and faithful servant, enter into your rest. But depart from me, I never knew you. Don't be a Sarah. Don't sit in the tent. Be an Abraham. Head out. Receive the blessing on the way. Find out what it's about, and then rely on God to bring it to pass. Let's pray.